from every culture
over the world
to right here
in our ports and our city,
people make
Southampton.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. Today's show, well, it's all about you, it's about me, it's about people. When if you manage a team, work in a team, or are thinking about building a team to support your business, then this show is for you. And I'm here in the studio with the incredible Mark Mowbray from Proaction HR, who is an experienced senior manager, but is also a fellow radio presenter. Mark, welcome to the studio.
Well, good afternoon, Matt. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are most welcome. It's a little bit warm in the studio again, but we're going to get through this.
It's not too warm.
It's not too
yet.
Bad. It's not too bad at all. So now, Mark, we're here to share some insights and some useful tips on how to look after people and also yourself within any organisation. So we're talking about people, we're talking about HR, which of course is human resources. But why is that important in a business?
Well, I mean, Matt, business is about its people.
Sure.
And without people, you don't have a business. The more that, and we'll explore during this hour, the more that you look after yourself, the more that you look after and work with the people within your team, the more risk, the more chance you have of your business being successful. Not only that, the people within it growing and flourishing as well.
Sure. When I talk to business owners, it's one of the things that's top of the list in terms of one of the hardest things to grapple with and to get and to get right. And we talked, haven't we, about, you know, treating people as well as you possibly can.
Yeah. I mean, treating people really starts off with how you look after yourself. Mm. You know, you have to look after yourself. You have to recognize that the ability to look after others, understand others and communicate with others largely rests on looking after yourself first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the people that work with you will see if you are looking after you first, and then they come to realize, actually, looks after himself and looking after me as well.
Mm.
It's amazing what that does to retention. It's amazing what that does for enthusiasm. It's amazing what it does just for people. You know, if you've got someone coming out of work and they say, I had a really great day at work today, they're not only being positive about themselves, they're being positive about that business from which you work.
Completely.
And there's a risk then that you'll get more customers or more interest in that thing that you do.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, it's just wonderful.
You're so passionate about this, and I wonder whether or not you could share a little bit about your background for the listeners.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's an interesting thing about talking about oneself. It should be the easiest thing to do in the world because it's something that, you know, people can naturally do. I find it really difficult because I spend a lot of my time meeting other people, listening to other people, picking up conversation with people about interesting things that I've learned, and I kind of forget about me, if that makes any sense. But, you know, I mean, I suppose I went to college. I went to Merton College all those years ago. I'm not going to say it was 1987 or so, because I'm not that old.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. That's it. Back in the day when the Sinclair ZX81 was the top-selling computer. No, I'm only kidding. And I did business studies and really, really enjoyed that.
Sure.
My first job, it was interesting, is when I learned what I shouldn't be doing. I worked in a payroll office for a large factory.
Okay.
You know, and employed people on piecework and had to add up their cards and work out their money and all the rest of it. And gosh, it just wasn't for me. But I saw my mum saw an advert for a business called Comet Electrical. Do you remember them?
I do.
So very, very much like other large electrical retailers that we have now. And I applied and I got the job. And I spent many, many years working within Comet. And the thing about retail, certainly British retail, the way that I see it, is if you want to learn a whole set of skills, retail is one of the places where you can do that. And even going back then, primarily being a customer-facing person, as I was in one of the first jobs, you realise the value of people.
Mm.
And they're called customers.
Yeah.
And there's that very old adage that sometimes people throw away, customer comes first, customer comes first. And they go into a quiet room, I don't really mean that, but I say that because that's the right thing to say. Well, where I come from, Matt, the customer comes first. But here's the thing. In my background, I learnt, certainly working at Comet and some other businesses along the way, your internal customer and your external customer. Every colleague that you work with, every person within your organisation, whoever they are and whatever role they have, deserves to have their name remembered, deserves to be treated with respect, deserves to be treated in a way that enables them to reach their maximum capacity, that is good for them, comfortable for them, makes them want to come to work. Because all of that is driven by attitude.
Yeah.
And I tend to work with people who have a great attitude. Mm. Yeah, attitude is king. All of that transfers through to the customer experience.
And it sounds so obvious when you say it, but as we know, it is often not the case.
Well, you know, an honest reflector for me, as you know, I'm quite a reflector. I can think of times where, for whatever circumstance, maybe I didn't deliver the best customer service. Mm. It's never been done out of malice. It's never been done as a deliberate thing. Maybe there's something going on in my life. Maybe there's something happening around me. And in those early years where perhaps there's one or two examples where I could have done better, but actually pulling it in, having good HR, having good human resources, having structure in place within any business of almost any size, where you recognise if somebody is struggling, where you recognise if somebody's doing great, where you have a process in place that enables the team player, you know, member of your team, again, to thrive, not just survive in a role, but to thrive in
thrive,
a role,
yeah,
is about having good HR. And it is, I mean, we say HR, it's human resources. Mm. Yeah, that resource, my goodness me. People are giving you their lives and their time in exchange for payment. I mean, goodness me, this is one of the most valuable commodities that I know of. Mm. It outshines gold and silver. It's human beings. Mm. And so by having HR, or just right disciplines within business, and I know we'll go through this a bit later, having some disciplines within business, within community, within organisations, charitable organisations, volunteers, whatever, having that process in place is so important.
Really well put. Tell us a little bit about ProAction then, and how ProAction HR sort of fit into that that landscape.
Well, ProAction HR, what a wonderful organisation. ProAction HR, how do I describe it? It is made up of its people. I'll start with Martin and Joe.
Yeah.
Martin and Joe are the owners, proprietors of ProAction HR. Both of them HR professionals in their own right. The wonderful thing about those two is that they understand the complexity of HR, can deliver that complexity of HR to customers in a way which can be understood and actioned, lived and believed. They run this organization, ProAction HR, which has some, and I kid you not, and I think you've met one or two of them, have some other brilliant people around them. And again, just to give an example, if you have a quality organization with quality HR, you attract quality people to your organization. They want to be part of it. They want to be part of that team. You find that they don't tend to leave. You find that they tend to stay a little bit longer because they want to. And ProAction HR is a business that provides its customer. It's, and I say customer because we almost become part of their team, with the HR services that you would expect, retained HR services that you would expect from a firm like that. It could be, for example, recruitment. It could be onboarding. It could be creating employment contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be a retained service that ensures that your team are looked after every single month, every single year going forward. But it also has avenues of management development, people development, wellness programs, and they've just started a course of breakfast meetings. The first one very recently, I think we might go into that later, called Insights, which has been fascinating for the people that have joined us today, getting an insight into something, but I won't spoil the above later.
Yeah, let's not spoil that, but I did, of course, have the pleasure, and thank you very much for the insight, because it was just brilliant to sort of experience it, immerse myself in all of these things that, to be honest with you, any business owner, doesn't matter what size business, it doesn't matter if you employ one person or you employ 1,000 people, if you get these things right, it can turbocharge what you're doing. And it's almost, we're talking competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And we're talking about achieving things in your business that ordinarily, you know, if you were to take a different stance on it, you may not get the same results.
Yes.
So what you're saying then, almost Proaction HR, they are an extension of your business and they're kind of there. They'll support the business, but they also support the owners and the teams within it.
Yes. Everything that I've sort of explained in the run up to that is what Proaction HR demonstrates every single day. And actually a point that you just made, but I'd like to expand upon it. If your business, any business, it doesn't matter what business it is. Mm. One of the things which has happened has become more prevalent now is that your customers will see how you look after your team.
Mm.
Your customers have a decision to come to you or go to a competitor, and it's amazing what they will make their decision based upon. But I know from my own experience, if I feel that employees of a firm are not being looked after or worked with properly, it does rather put me off going back to that business.
Absolutely.
You know, so looking after your team, looking after your people, and you'll notice in the first sense, I never use the word staff. They're your team.
Mm.
They're your family when you go to work. They're the people that you, as a business owner or manager, have chosen to put around you, have chosen to join your family. It has that rub-off effect again on your client, on your customer.
Absolutely. It's almost viewing your people, they're not a means to an end.
No.
Any organisation, it's a dynamic thing.
Yes.
And everybody is unique, everybody is different, everybody has a different set of requirements.
Yes.
And that sort of leads me on to the Insight Discovery Day this morning that you guys invited me along to. And I just want to touch on that because it really gave me an appreciation of how people see you, but also how you see the way that other people view the world. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it's a personal experience or a business experience, but generally speaking, when things go wrong, communication can often play a part in that.
Yes.
And having done this Insights Discovery Day, and you effectively turn people into different colors, and mm-hmm. that sort of gives you an idea of whether or not they're extrovert, introvert, mm-hmm. or how they look at the world. And it's really interesting because it gives you the power to adapt how you talk to somebody, how you interact with that person,
yeah.
not necessarily to be your authentic self, not to be a different person, but to just communicate with other people in a way that they perhaps respond best to. And of course, it's all about getting the best out of people.
Well, you're absolutely right. Part of this is about being proactive.
Sure.
Proaction, proactive.
I see what you did
there. Proactive, thank you. Proactively learning how other people see you and understanding that. Proactively learning to see others in the way that works for them, communicating to them. And there's a point that you made a moment ago, it helps to avoid some of those problems from happening.
Sure.
And you get clarity and clear conversation. It takes practice, takes time, but also the side effect, you are demonstrating that you are taking time to understand that person before asking them to understand you.
Absolutely.
And as an employer or a manager, what better thing can you do after you've paid and provided a good working experience than to really get to know that person? And Insights, as you had the taster of this morning, is the start of that journey.
It's really fascinating because there is a bit of a science to it, but it's not a complicated science.
Nope.
There's a very, you know, simple set of rules and guidelines that you can follow. And with that, it's so powerful. It's almost like discovering fire. I'm not even joking.
Yes.
So I'm really excited because in part two, Mark, you're going to start to share with us some of your top tips, your HR top tips.
Absolutely.
And these are really easy things that people out there, business owners, managers, whatever it might be, if you look after a team, then these are some things that you could probably start implementing today.
Yes.
That are probably going to have a profound effect on the way that the business runs.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sharing some of these tips with us, aren't you?
Yes.
Mark, it's been brilliant.
Thank you.
Let's have a short break and we'll see you soon.
Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork. Both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous. Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. And I'm in the studio with the wonderful Mark from ProAction HR. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Matt. Thank you.
Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. So, Mark, before we talk about your amazing HR top tips, I understand you do a bit of voiceover work.
No.
It's not true.
Every interviewer's nightmare where they've got to prepare a question, the person being interviewed goes, No, I know nothing about that. Yeah, I've dabbled in it, yes.
Oh, do you want to give us a whirl?
Oh, gosh, now you're putting me on the spot.
Something HR-related.
A cinema trail, something like that.
Yeah, can you do sort of cinema trailer-esque?
Let's think. Imagine we've got some kind of serious music underneath, you know, a bit of full orchestra like that. It's one of those big, epic motion pictures. I think everyone's kind of familiar with the voiceover that they do for films, that kind of thing.
Perfect.
So shall I try and do something like that?
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Top of my head, you're catching me out here. In a world where business strives for success, the work-life balance seems a distant dream. One company dared to challenge the status quo. When they deliver, people change. ProAction HR in cinemas from Friday.
Oh, wow.
Something like that?
Oh, yes. I can't believe you've just rattled that off.
Ah, been doing it a long time.
Very good. And I like the HR spin on that.
Well, you know, you've got to have a go, haven't you?
That was ProAction's tagline, wasn't it, I think?
I tell you what, yes is the answer to that. But I don't think it's a motion picture just yet, but you never know.
You never know. So, okay, brilliant. Yes, sir. I absolutely love that. So let's talk about some of these top tips then. We've got five, haven't we, to share with people. And you never know, as we progress, there might be some that you also think about. So you've said that your top tip is kind of around recruitment and considering the role you need, not the person in front of you. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's higher for the potential in the role and the person.
Right.
So I have seen in business and organisations, they have ongoing recruitment. And sometimes they're ongoing recruitments because the person or persons doing the recruitment haven't actually thought through, what do I need? What does the business need?
Actually need, yeah. Rather than I've got a short-term problem, I
yeah.
need to...
Yeah, yeah. What does the team need? Mm. So the first thing to do is to realise what could the potential for this new job be? What success does this bring? What does this bring to the business? What does this bring to my team? And then you kind of match into that. I've got to find the right person to meet that potential. And what's in it for them as well? Mm-hmm. You know, we touched on the first part of the programme. People sell you their time and the most valuable commodity there is. So the least we can do as an employer or a community organisation is try and work out, well, what's the job? What's the job role? What's it got to achieve? Mm. How's that going to impact the people within my team currently? How's that going to help them flourish?
Yeah.
And really go to town that. Really break it down. Work with the team. Work with your colleagues. Don't just think, oh, I've had a marvellous idea and I'm just going to execute it now and I'm not going to tell anyone and I'm just going to bring this person into business. And I have seen that quite a lot, actually, where there have been businesses who have had people thrust upon them or they've made decisions based on less than thought through reasoning, if you like.
When you say this out loud, it sounds so obvious, but there are businesses that just jump straight in.
Well, there are businesses that jump straight in. I want to be very, very clear on something. Nothing that I say is to criticise a business or a community organisation that's been through that process. The only criticism I would give is where somebody allows it to happen for the second time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
When it happens the first time, it can happen for a number of reasons. And what we should do as professionals, individuals, is reflect, look back, understand, take the learning, and ensure it doesn't happen again. And, you know, in the experience that I've had and the people that I've been blessed to work with, it really hasn't happened again. But to avoid that, you know, somebody listening today might be starting a new business. You know, let's call it, you know, Plumbers Central of Southampton. And maybe they've been working on their own for a period of time, and maybe they've reached their own capacity. They can't get any more from, you know, their office at the end of the garden. They've reached that point where they need to expand, and they've got over the fear factor, whatever that might happen to be, and they decide to take on another plumber. But it's not just taking on a plumber. What kind of plumber do I want? How qualified do I want them to be? Do I want to train someone new? Do I want to take someone who's experienced? I need someone who can be mobile and go to my customers. How far do I want them to travel? What's reasonable? What days of the week do I want them to work? What are the things I'm going to ask them to do that might be something extra and special, which is my unique selling point of my plumbing service? And go into the market and find that person. Because the great news is, if you've got that profile in place and you put the time into finding that person, there's a really strong risk, positive risk, you'll get it right. If you don't, we take the learning. If you do, fantastic, because the great news behind person number two is person number three.
Yeah.
And the joy of success that that brings. And if you follow that, you know, hire for the potential in the role, find the right person, enabling them, you start to find the business can grow in a way that you want it to. Not everyone wants to run, I always used to call it ICI, I don't think they exist anymore. Not everyone wants to run ICI. But people want to sometimes earn a good living, enjoy going to work.
Maybe have a bit of financial freedom.
Maybe have some financial freedom as well, which is really, really important. But also the gift of giving other people financial freedom within secure employment. Oh, what a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on earlier about hiring for potential. But how do you evaluate the potential? How can you do that?
How do you evaluate the potential of the person sat in front of you? In this studio right now, I'm using two or three tools. Two of the tools have currently got headphones on them. My left ear and my right ear. Now, when I said three tools, the other tool that people jump to is my voice. No, it's the brain in between my two ears. I'm sitting here, I am listening to your questions. I'm understanding what you want to find out, and I'm giving you the very best answers that I can. Now, you're interviewing somebody, you've got that person sitting right in front of you. Who are you looking for? Yeah? How can they flourish? How can they add value to your business and themselves? What is proper recruitment about in every step of the process? You ask them questions. You give them the opportunity to answer those questions to the very best of their ability. And that something you might be looking for is their potentiality. They might not know. Let's go back to being a plumber. And let's say you've decided to take someone who's quite green and quite experienced. You might have an interview with them that shows that they have some plumbing experience. And my dad used to be a plumber, and I've always enjoyed plumbing, and I've always used solder, and I've never used plastic joints, and that's just the way it's going to be because that's the way that my dad did it, and I'm never going to change. So you think, you go back to that stage when you think, is that really what I want? Do I want someone who's never really going to change or grow and develop? Or you sit down in front of somebody, you ask them a set of questions, they go, yeah, I have great attitude. Yeah, I want to listen. Yeah, I want to learn. Yeah, I want to be the very best plumber there is in Southampton, and I'm keen. Key thing, attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming down from that, I've now mentioned two different interviews, which brings me to another point. Don't panic and employ the first person you see.
Yeah. That's a golden rule, isn't it?
Well, it's quite amazing. Again, I've had the benefit of working with some companies who have recruited somebody. Yeah. It's the first person that they met because they were wonderful. Oh, yeah, it was great. God, oh. But a few days in, because perhaps the questions weren't good enough or didn't dig enough or didn't dig into the potentiality of the job, the potentiality of the person. Going back to that first point, they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, employment law is one thing, and we're not here to touch on that today. A side of employment law is treating people reasonably. That includes ringing someone and saying, I'm sorry, but on this occasion, you haven't been successful. If you would like some feedback, fantastic. But of course, the other thing is, it's ringing or making that call. And I believe in calls for people who are successful in going for a job, not just an email or a text message. congratulations, you've got a job.
Absolutely.
If you've done that interview properly, what's the first thing you've done, Matt? You've shown values to that person,
yep.
A quality interview to the best of your ability as a business owner, business manager, the very best that you can. You've demonstrated that. Fantastic. And I think also the other thing about interviewing, measuring their engagement.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. Let me turn into a very bad person being interviewed just for a second. Ask me a question.
Tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Mark. And I've done a bit of radio.
And of course, when that happens, what can then happen is the person doing the interview can obviously be the one that talks the most.
Yeah, they're trying to start filling in. I think there's two things happening. You've demonstrated really well. I mean, certainly you and I, we both work on radio, and I've been very used to filling in because sometimes the playout system stops working, or maybe the news doesn't connect.
Mm.
You know, something happens and you have to make it up on the spot. Interviewing somebody is, it was a great interview, and yeah, I really liked them, and they arrived on time, and they were wearing a tie. What did you talk about? Well, I did ask them lots of questions. Look, we just need someone to work on the checkout on Saturday afternoon. And there's the problem. That's the bad recruitment to start with. And yeah, people do start filling in. And you don't want to do that. You want to give them the opportunity to demonstrate that engagement. And I think the other thing is, let me ask you a question, Matt, if I may.
Yeah, go for it.
How do you feel the show's going so far?
Really well.
So how do you feel you're getting on with me?
Very well.
Is it flowing nicely?
Perfectly.
Same thing for an interview. Measure in your head how you feel you're getting on with them. Because here's the great news. Whoever you employ, whoever joins your team, for whatever amount of hours it might be, what you're saying is spend time with me. Be part of my team. Be part with my colleagues. Share coffee, share tea, share water, share the facilities, share looking after our customers. And you want to have someone with you that enables you to feel thumbs up. Thumbs up in a radio studio doesn't work very well. Mm. But my thumb, as you can see, my thumb is right up. And that's without me, I'm not thinking about that. This is the real thing.
Yeah.
Thumbs up to that decision. Thumbs up to having that right person around me. Because I think if you get on with that person, if you get on, one of the great seeds that starts to grow is a confidence that you have with them and a confidence that they have with you. And that confidence really bears out when you have the confidence to give positive feedback.
Sure.
And feedback which requires some attention, you know, something that they have the opportunity to do better. And notice I avoided negative words in that, you know.
And that's interesting because I suppose that leads on really well to your next tip, which is about managing the performance from the day that you recruit somebody.
Mm.
You know, setting that expectation early on.
I don't know. Let me tell you when it starts. It's with the job description.
Sure, yeah.
It starts going, every one of the tips that we've tried, because I've done this in collaboration, obviously, with my colleagues at ProAction, these tips all interlink.
Yeah.
So that job description is totally key. I cannot stress it enough.
And the more time that, you know, you get that right, it's going to pay dividends later on down the line. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And also, job description, totally key. When you're interviewing someone, one of the classic, it's not a mistake, it just happens. Imagine that my phone rang during this interview right now. And what's worse, imagine I answered it. Okay, we laugh, yeah, because actually it doesn't happen. Actually, I can think of one radio presenter who does actually answer phone when it goes live. But anyway, when you're interviewing, make sure you've set aside time.
Of course, yeah.
Make sure you've turned your phone off. Make sure that your team, your colleagues who are in and around sharing the space know not to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen businesses who've got a little flip thing on the door. Interviewing, please don't disturb.
Sure, yeah, makes sense, doesn't it?
You know, you take someone in for an interview or something like that, and you say, I'm just going to turn this around. You're almost saying, giving you value. You know, it starts from there. And I think also if you can, you've got to understand the job, understand description, advertise in an appropriate place. And what I mean by that, we want the opportunity to reach that special person to join your team. So when you're placing adverts, and we live in a very online world now, mm-hmm. since I started on my journey with an HR and being a senior manager within business, there used to be notices on the window. The job centre, you know, places like that. Now we've got multiple job sites, you know, and we have mechanisms within businesses. You know, some big businesses out there have websites and recruitment process. Make sure you put your job so it can be seen. Yeah. Make sure that it's placed properly. And here's a little detail. It's one that's just come into my mind. When writing a job description and getting it posted, make sure it's all spelt properly.
That sounds like a given, but again, you know, these things, sometimes they hide in plain sight, and business owners can be so busy doing what they're good at that these things don't necessarily, you're not going to be necessarily an expert at some of this stuff.
Nope.
Mark, this is absolutely fantastic. We're going to take another short break. I cannot believe how quick that section of the show has gone. We've definitely got some more tips coming up, which I can't wait for you to share, because of course you're going to save the best ones till last.
Absolutely.
And stay tuned for more of Mark Mulberry's from Proaction HR's top tips, everything to do with HR. We'll see you soon.
Voice FM.
Sweet Pea Florists, Bridge Road, Woolston.
Sweet Pea Florists, for all occasions and celebrations. Sweet Pea Florists.
Call Southampton 0238043154 or visit them at sweetpeaflorist.co.uk. Flowers for all occasions.
Sweet Pea Florists.
Visit the girls in the flower shop on the corner of Bridge Road and Defender Road, Woolston.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
From every culture
over the world
to right here
in our port and our city,
people make
Southampton. Voice FM.
Now, Mark, we are carrying on with our top tips when it comes to everything HR. What is in at top tip number two?
Well, top tip number two is manage performance from the day you recruit. Now, by that, I mean your standards reflect on the new starter. Set their expectation. Mm. For example, if you interview and you have a result, give that result in a speedy as appropriate manner, professionally and properly. And certainly if you do that and you're taking somebody new on, from the interview, from starting it on time to running a good interview, to understanding, to listening, to asking the right questions, to the job offer, lets people know without you telling them, we run a professional organisation or to the very best of our current capacity. Number two, within that, it's seek to drive consistently a better performance from the individual and the teams that they exist in. Always trying to pull someone forward to do better. And I don't say push. When you push someone to do better, sometimes pushing someone can be a bit negative, but if you pull them with you, if you demonstrate by your own behaviour that you're trying to improve and you pull them along, there's a risk that they will do that as well. Set challenging but achievable tasks.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yep. For goodness sake. Be challenging. Challenging is good. Challenging requires imagination from the individual. Challenging
Absolutely.
Requires problem solving.
Coming out of the comfort zone ever so slightly.
Completely. But it's got to be achievable. Because if you set someone up to fail, you're saying, please go and work elsewhere. Please go and be part of a different organisation. I've seen in the past business managers set targets that they know cannot be achieved. For whatever reason, they might decide to do that. We don't
soul have destroying,
enough.
Isn't it?
It's absolutely soul destroying. If you're going to set a target, it's a target, so it should be challenging, but it should be achievable because you can celebrate success. And if they don't reach it, but they've really tried hard, you can review, reset the standard, retrain as necessary, and encourage them to try again. Because sometimes, from a sense or perceived sense of failure, when they achieve it the second time, it really locks in place.
Oh, 100%.
So you just set targets which are achievable.
Yes, that's worth its weight. That's worth its weight in gold, isn't
it? Absolutely.
So what else have you got in the locker? What's tip number three?
Well, tip number three is reward. Now, reward is really, really important. Don't give away bonuses or commissions. Now,
there's going to be people listening that are thinking, what?
A bonus and a commission should be something which is earned, fought for, received, but not just given away for the sake of it. Because here's the thing. Whilst you've set a target to earn a bonus or a commission, you have set a bit of a task, which has got to be achievable. That person will work really hard and get that reward, and that's fantastic. But here's the thing. If you give it away for no reason, what do their colleagues around them think? Maybe don't have that opportunity to earn that bonus or earn that commission. It can be, at its best, devastating. That's my own personal view. It can be devastating. And I think the other thing about it as well is don't ever have a scheme that costs you, the business owner or the manager, money. Now, what does that mean? Set commissions, set bonuses. But underlying that, the work that they should doing should bring fruitful income to the business that enables the business to grow and spend money as appropriate on commissions and bonuses, but not at a cost.
So what we're saying is as the business gains, so does the individual.
Absolutely. The rewards that don't drive the business forward are not a reward. They are just, how do I put this? Well, it's a way to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way to fail. Rewards should be there to enable the business to absolutely steamroll forward at a pace which is sensible. Business growth must be sensible and paced at an appropriate rate. But yeah, reward should drive business forward.
That's absolutely brilliant. So, top tip number four, when we were talking earlier, it's quite it simply says proaction.
Yeah, proaction, being proactive. If you work in a business which is currently reactive, this is what happens. You end up spending more money or more time or going away from the mission of the business, the role and the goal of the business, to be reactive to something that might have gone wrong. But here's the thing. If you can be proactive, if you can work with those people that you originally interviewed for, bring those right people into the business, be proactive, thinking going forward. Where do I want our business, our business to be in a year's time, 2 years' time? How many people do I want? Be proactive. And so I want five people. So what do I need to think about? I need to think about employment contracts and this and that. And who do I need to get around me? Well, maybe a decent HR firm. But that to one side. All the things that I need. Being proactive. You spend a lot less time in the reactive zone. The only thing you might have to react to is something that happens around you that's beyond your control. Recently, mortgage rates have gone up. Yeah, little things like that. We're not in control of that. So we've got enough in our business lives to react to without making more of our own. And if my personal belief, and I have to say, I share it with ProAction, they believe in acting, not reacting, for all of those reasons that I just currently said. Spend time being proactive, because that is the route to success.
And on that note, because it seems to be a bit of a theme that's appearing throughout the show and the wonderful guests that I talk to, and that is this thing of surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah. If you, and I stumble on words here because it's so important, you as a business manager, business owner, must make every effort possible to surround yourself with the right people who can bring to your business the right skills, the right experience, or the attitude to learn those things as part of your business. Then you are absolutely sowing the seeds of success.
Yeah.
Take a shortcut, write a bad advert, do poor recruitment, don't look after their... Imagine you didn't get paid in the first month on time, because the business manager owner hadn't processed your new starter paperwork. How devastating would that be?
Well, that's going to have... It's going to cause ripples.
Bring the right people in. They'll look after the payroll for you. Yeah, that new person gets paid on time. If that makes any sense, surrounding yourself by the right people is just an absolute recipe for success.
So it goes back to that point that your people are almost like your internal customers. You know, you have to look at them as if you would, you know, a paying customer.
We touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
You have two customers, your internal customer and your external customer.
It's such a powerful way to look at things.
Yes.
Completely agree.
It is. And if you can, and I use the word internalise, and it's, you know, I've been to a lot of training in my time. I've given a lot of training in my time, a lot of talks. But if one thing outside of this show this afternoon that I'd encourage people to do, internalise the proper beliefs in how to run a business. And it starts with you inside. Honesty and integrity, mm-hmm. the pursuit of excellence. And I genuinely mean it, going back to that those few words a few minutes ago. Customers number one. You know, and if you're external, your team, they should feel valued, for example. Mm. Yeah, you know. We talked about paying them on time, a nice place to work, and all the people, your genuine communication. Now, you've had an experience of communication this morning with the ProAction team, if you like. We sort of touched on that earlier. What you don't know, I don't think, is that the thing that you experienced this morning, ProAction pulled all its people into its office a few weeks ago and spent most of the day giving us that training, you know, really communicating to us their values that they had for us.
That definitely shone through.
Yeah.
And it team dynamics interesting because it's something that gets talked about. But having done that Insights Discovery morning, you can visually see it.
Yeah.
And like I said before, it equips you with a really simple set of tools that can almost turbocharge the way that you communicate with anyone.
Yes.
Not just in business, just in life, in general. And so I suppose we're now going on to your top tip number five.
Yes.
And this is probably saving the best till last, but it's about engaging your staff. Talk to us a little bit about this, engaging your staff.
Well, we touched again on it a little. Do you feel valued, Matt?
Right now, yes, very much so.
You probably feel valued because you know that I've prepared for today.
Absolutely.
I've driven a long way, prepared for today. I think I'd sent you an email earlier in the week outlining some of what I thought might be good content for your show. You should feel valued by that. Now imagine an employee or a team member, as I prefer to say. Mm. How can you ensure that they feel valued? And yeah, as I've said, you might pay them on time. And yes, you might have a nice place to work. It's all about your people and genuinely communicating with them. And that isn't just a hello at the beginning of the day and a goodbye at the end. General communication might be that, how today?
Very well.
Yeah. And how do I know that?
Because I've told you.
Yeah. And I've chosen to remember. Mm. Communication.
That's interesting. Yeah. So you did that, yeah.
Communication, remembering some of the gifts that, you know, your team actually tell you. And, you know, people really do deliver for businesses that they believe in and, if appropriate, can have fun with.
I'm going to quote Richard Branson here.
Go ahead.
And very simple. Train people so they can leave. Treat them so that they don't want to.
Oh, I totally agree.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Have you read his book?
Not yet.
Do so.
No, I should get a copy.
But I think that's the thing. Staff retention, certainly at the moment, is very, very, or team retention is very, very important at the moment. But I'm gonna say this as well. Have fun yourself at work. As in the owner or as the manager of the business, have fun yourself. Last week, ProAction, at the drop of a hat, had a barbecue one lunchtime and everybody was made to feel welcome. Martin was out there cooking the chicken and doing the sausages.
Brilliant.
We stopped, sat outside, had a barbecue. What value does that add to the team?
These moments really matter because it just gels the team together.
Yeah, it does. It gels them together, but the thing about being at work is I'm being paid to do this. Mm. Wow, brilliant. And I'm enjoying it. And you touched on what Richard said, you know, train them to want to stay and blah, blah, blah. That all comes from part of it. And it doesn't mean, right, we're all going out for an enforced fun day where we're all going to be enforced and have fun. What it actually means, that bit of communication, make people feel valued, do the odd thing, I used to do, I mean, we haven't got time. I've done all sorts of things for people in the past in their careers to make sure that they know they're valued and have fun. I've done all sorts of things.
I can imagine. We're nearly out of time.
We are.
So I just want to touch on something I ask all of the guests, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, if you were sat opposite someone that's maybe, let's say they're starting a business,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps they're having some challenges in their business,
mm-hmm.
you know, what advice would you give them?
The two B's.
The two B's.
The two B's.
Okay. Tell us about this.
Be brave and be bold.
Mm-hmm.
Being brave is about making the decisions in the fear of getting something wrong, but doing it anyway. Be bold. Cut or carve your own success out of the time that's in front of you. But I'll add to that. Surround yourself, where appropriate, with good advice.
Absolutely.
People who specialise in an area of business. It could be an accountant. My goodness me, I cannot tell you how important a great accountant is. Bookkeeper, HR, logistics, whatever you like. Surround yourself with people who will give you advice, sometimes without fear of reward either, but want to see you be successful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be brave, be bold, and surround yourself with good advice.
That is absolutely brilliant. Let's just do a really quick rundown of your top tips. So if we start all the way back to the beginning. So number one, what was number one?
Recruitment. Consider the role you need.
In at number two?
Manage performance from the day you recruit them.
Perfect. What about number three?
That's rewarding them appropriately.
So getting the right reward structure in place.
Absolutely.
Tip number four, what was that?
Be proactive.
Simple.
Yeah.
And tip number five?
Engage your team. Engage the people that you work with from day one.
And of course, the two B's?
Be brave, be bold.
Mark, we're out of time, and I feel like we probably could have had another hour to delve even deeper into this amazing world of looking after people within an organisation. I just want to say thank you for coming in and sharing some of this insight, because it's been absolutely fascinating, interesting, and I really hope that the listeners out there can take some of these tips and almost start running with them today, because they could well be transformational for their businesses.
Well, from myself and the ProAction team, we enjoyed your company this morning. Thank you for joining us on that.
Thank you for the invite.
And thank you for this afternoon.
Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy, or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry, and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.